What's up, guys? It's Ethan,
Isabel,
and Kat.
And we're joining the boys once again for a Northeast segment of Through the Griffin Tour.
New York and Philly are already sold out, but tickets are still available in Boston, Hartford, Washington, D.C., and Richmond.
We're going to be hosting a live episode of Jay vs. Ben with questions submitted by you all, have some exclusive merch, and you'll even get a special performance from us.
Oh, yeah, and the guys will probably talk about Harry Potter, too.
Yeah, they definitely will. We're going to be diving into chapters 17 through 22 of Half-Blood Prince, which contains lots of fun wizarding lore.
There's also a very limited supply of VIP add-on tickets left for some of these venues. This experience includes a signed poster, early admission, and a meet and greet with Jay and Ben.
So get your tickets now at the link in the description. We can't wait to see all of you in real life at
Through the Griffin Tour.
Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I made it back to another episode after coming back up and down the East Coast.
Hey, look at you. You could be just like a regular country singer.
Regular country singer. We were listening. This is my minor gripe with Spotify, is that on the way, we just went on a trip up to New York, immediately following our trip back from L.A., and not to New York City. We weren't like, we're not so cool as to be like, oh, I'm in LA on Tuesday and in the city on Thursday. You know,
going to London next week. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going
We're such world travelers. Yeah. We were in LA and then we were driving up actually to upstate New York for our grandmother's funeral or celebration of life.
Which I got to say, before we dive into it too much, like, was a proper celebration of life. Like,
yeah, I would agree.
It was pretty cool. There's like this one random line in Name of the Wind, and I do not know why it brings me such like comfort attached to death.
Such comfort.
Because I don't feel like it necessarily should. It's possible I've just brought this up before. But like it's when Quoth receives his sword somewhere along the way from this like band of mercenaries.
Sesora.
He is meant to learn the entire history of the sword.
Right.
Because the swords belong to the school that is presenting it to him. And the idea is that like in order to properly care for and understand the meaning of this like, you know, device that you have been given is to understand its complete history, which is called the like ATAS, I think. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. But throughout the course of it, Quoth is learning like who carried it and how they died. And basically what he's discovering is that every person who carried it before him like died this like gruesome death.
Right.
Which is obviously not that comforting. But then he has this line where he's like, I noticed that it never described anybody as dying a natural death surrounded by fat grandchildren. And it's like just sort of this like idea of sort of like it's such a simple way to describe what may be the ideal circumstances to sort of like
to pass on. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so it's like this idea that sort of like you have cultivated throughout the course of your life some amount of good people who are going to be out there doing good things because you existed ever. And it's like, I mean, I'm probably reading into the line way too much, but I think like it makes me think a lot of like the legacy and like sort of like the ways in which you've guided people in your life and what they're able to do to make the world better as they go forward and hopefully do the same thing. I've heard the phrase celebration of life, and I think that like probably some deep part of my mind was like, you know, it almost seems like a polite way to refer to what's actually happening, like, which is like, you know, like the term funeral just seems like
so dreary.
It does. I mean, maybe it's like because of movies, but it reminds me of like rain, but like not the kind of rain that I like to like stare out the window and like look at.
Like
but
like cold gray rain.
Exactly.
On a Tuesday morning.
A morning. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so it was kind of cool. And then also in addition, this is just a brief tangent because I thought of it when we first started the episode. You kind of did like your little like riff thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Where you like made like a rhyme.
Yeah, I did like a rhyme.
It was pretty good.
It landed on time.
It sure did. Way to go.
Thanks, man.
I was listening to and have been listening to some Benson Boone lately, and I was like, man, I would totally be a Benson Boone cover bandist.
A Ben Sun Boone.
Ben's son Boone.
Yeah, Ben's son. I'm Ben's son Boone.
Ben's son Boone. Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, he wears these like cool sequin like jumpsuits and does backflips off the stage and stuff like that. And I was just, and then I just like his music. It's kind of like modern music meets like Bruce Springsteen. And I'm like, I don't know. This is delightful.
Yeah. It sounds fun.
It does sound fun.
You could do it. You're gonna start a Benson Boone cover band.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. You want to be in it?
I mean, I guess I could be.
You could slap.
I can't do backflips.
Well, I mean, you know, Houston. To say we couldn't learn.
I mean, well, that's true.
It's never too late.
It's never, well, for backflips, maybe sometimes it is too late.
Eventually. It's like, can you imagine, like, that's going to be like a moment, though, where it's like, I have reached the age. No more backflips,
you know? It's like, I mean, heck, last year I went off the diving board and I was trying to like encourage Luke to try a front flip. And I was like, I'll just go do a front flip because then he'll be like, wow, that was cool. Maybe I can do it. And I did that. And then I was just in pain for a week. Yeah. And like, I mean, I'm sure I did it, you know, it looked awesome, obviously.
Obviously. I mean, you know, let's be real here.
And I just spent the rest of the week just like, oh God, that hurt.
I got a crick in my neck.
Got the old crick in the neck here. This ain't good. Oh man. Anyway, when we were driving up, this is my gripe about Spotify. I was gonna get to.
Hey, this is excellent. Yeah. We're all over the place.
We're all over the place today. Was that so? We were driving up, and Beth is trying to find stuff to listen to, and often she likes to resort to like country songs from our youth because they're very good for like just sort of, you know, all the words, sing along kind of songs, and it's fun to go back and just listen to them all.
They are, and I feel like the beginning of summer is such a good time too. It's just like there's like a very like windows down, like feet on the dash,
very
like,
good. So she goes through this entire list of, you know, songs or whatever, and it's, you know, good fun. But then on the way back, we're in the same situation where I'm like, okay, let's try. And now I'm running the phone here. Let me see if I can't, you know, tailor it a little less Shania Twain, you know.
I mean, what's wrong with Shania Twain?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with Shania Twain. She still totally rocks.
Yeah, obviously, the Twain.
Yeah, exactly. But there was, you know, in Beth's selection, there was a excessive amount of, you know, Shania and the Chicks, and
so you were lacking some like some Blake Shelton's Old Red.
Yeah, I was lacking. I was like, let's get some like Kenny Chesney, like kind of beach vibes going here.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of. Okay. I was like, let me do that. So I just go on Spotify and I'm like, just Kenny Chesney, and it's like, oh, Kenny Chesney radio playlist created for you or whatever, and I'm like, sure. Great.
Just for you.
Just for me. I'm like, wow, you did that fast.
Well, yeah, the people at Spotify were literally like, guys, he's online.
Boom.
Get it together. How many Kenny Chesney songs do we have? It's okay. We'll fill in as we go.
Keg in the Closet was not even on the list, which is frustrating.
That is frustrating. Great Kenny Chesney song.
Yeah. So what we kick off, you know, and it's Kenny, and then it goes into Zach Brown. And I'm like, all right, this seems like exactly what I wanted. And then like the next 15 songs by created for you, clearly what Spotify did was look at the recently listened to country songs and just backfill them back into the list.
No.
So then it was just all the same songs. I was like, well, this is frustrating, Spotify. I see what you did here.
You, sir, are playing a dangerous game.
Exactly. You're playing a dangerous game, sir. So anyway, that was my gripe there. Also, while we're on the subject of old country songs that me and Beth listened to in the car, Randy Travis, you familiar with him?
Yeah. I mean, certainly. I mean, I know the name.
You know the name.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
I bet you could. Okay. You know more of his songs than you think.
I'm certain that's
true. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Anyway, an inordinate amount of his songs are like about, you know, just how much he loves the other person he's singing to.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Does Randy Travis sing the, I've been watching you, ain't that cool?
No, that's not him.
I'm your buckaroo, I want to be like you.
Nope.
And eat all my food and grow as tall as you are.
Ben Sun Boone, coming soon to a concert venue near you.
We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Sorry.
This is like,
I never know the lyrics. I'm Brad right now.
You're doing good. I hope you're watching on YouTube. This is like the, my love is deeper than the holler. Longer than the song of a whoopoer, you know?
Yes.
That's like one of his songs, but he has a lot of songs in that flavor. And it's like, oh yeah, like look at this guy. He just loves his wife so much. But I'll tell you what, Ben, he's divorced.
What?
No. What? It kind of ruins the songs.
It kind of ruins the songs.
I know.
Yeah. That's not what you're hoping for.
It's not what you're hoping for. You're like, this guy, him and his wife are going to last. There's no doubt.
Exactly.
There's no doubt.
It's like, where else were you getting the inspiration for all
exactly.
of these songs?
Exactly. I feel like, you know, I really, it's like, it puts a little asterisk next to the song.
It
you
does.
Know?
It
it's
does.
It's like, oh, yeah. So we've discovered how deep the holler actually is.
Right. Okay. So last week we had a vote for separate art from artist. This week, we can't.
This week, it's because it is a through line in his music.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing about like people who sing romantic songs is that you like need their romantic life to back it up so that it means anything
right.
at all.
Right. This is why Taylor Swift is getting away with this. She's just like, yeah, we broke up. I'm mad.
Here's what happens. It's like, how relatable is being broken up with?
Exactly.
Yeah, incredibly.
It's way more likely that you've experienced a breakup than never-ending love.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Romantic love. Probably your parents love you, you know, in a never-ending kind of way.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that has to be true.
Yeah.
There's no way they stop.
Right.
They can't.
That doesn't seem possible to me.
If you were to ask me if I could stop loving Addison, I would say hard no.
Hard no.
Hard no. I'm not capable of it.
Couldn't do it.
Not planning to. No interest.
Anyway, that was my Spotify / Randy Travis, strong opinion about a weak thing.
Now I need to know what else Randy Travis sings.
Oh, dude, it's like Three Wooden Crosses. That's him, I think.
There are. Three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them?
He had like the great transitional voice of like, he sounds like he was singing country music in like the 50s, but is still getting away with being played alongside like pop music in the early 2000s.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Deeper Than the Holler. Three Wooden Crosses. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh boy. Look at us. Maybe we should start a music podcast.
A music podcast? Because we're so good at music.
Like all we could, like every single episode, we just pick like four songs and like we try to like suss out the meaning of them without actually looking it up.
Right.
You know,
just based on how we remember the lyrics.
Oh, so we don't even get to look at the lyrics.
We kind of know the lyrics, Ben.
We vaguely know the lyrics.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Speaking of, there is a Taylor Swift song that's like, my ex-man with his new girlfriend, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to shake into the fella over
shake
there
it off.
With the hella yeah. good. Yeah. Oops. You can bleep me. Okay. I have questions about this.
Fire away, Ben. Okay. I'll answer them with 100%-ish accuracy.
100%-ish. Okay. Hang on. Okay. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my God, but I'm just going to shake. And to the fella over there with the hella good hair, won't you come on over, baby? We can shake.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't get it?
Well, I think the phrasing that gets me is it says, my ex-man brought his new girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
She's like, oh my God.
Right. Because she sees Taylor there. She's like, oh my God.
Exactly. Yeah. But the way I think I always heard it was that she is saying, because like as I'm looking at it, there's quotes around, oh my God. But it's like, it says, she's like, oh my God, I'm just going to shake. And so it sounds like the ex-man brought the new girlfriend who was like, oh my God, Taylor's here. I'm just going to shake to the fella over there with the hella good hair. So it's like, it to me, I always felt like it sounded like the girl showed up with the X-Man and then Wolverine.
Right, yeah, with the X-Man, Wolverine.
The X-Man, Wolverine.
That's right.
And or Cyclops. or maybe those are the people singing or involved in the song.
What I think is happening is that Taylor is there and her X-Man walks in with his new girlfriend.
New girlfriend.
And she's like, oh my God. And then Taylor's like, I don't even care. And she's the one shaking over to the guy with the really good hair. And as if like, oh, nice new girlfriend you got there. Doesn't matter. I'm going to go hang out with this even hotter guy.
Okay.
Is what I think's happening.
Well, I mean, it's
she's just going to shake.
It feels like the X-Man is Wolverine, as it were.
Yeah.
It's kind of having like
Hugh Jackman. Taylor's X-Man.
Obviously. Is having kind of a rough night because he's walking in, seeing his ex, his new girlfriend is like, oh my God. And then Taylor is going and dancing with.
The question is, how is she saying, oh my God? Is she like a fan of Taylor? And she walks in and she's like, oh my God.
I mean, quite frankly, there's no other way it should be.
If this is a realistic situation, I have to imagine that you walk in. But like, if Taylor in the song is just like the every girl, you know, and not she herself,
the capital T
Taylor S. Swift.
Yeah, right.
You know, if she's just the every girl, you put yourself in her position in the song.
Right.
Then it's like the new girl walks in and she's just like, she's there with her new boyfriend who she's excited about. And she looks up and like, there's the ex-girlfriend. And she's just like, oh my God.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. We just parking was terrible out there. We finally get in, and oh my God,
are you joshing me?
You joshing me
in this moment right
Why
now?
Is she vibrating so hard? Gosh.
Good point.
Because she's shaking.
Yeah. No.
You got it.
I got it. Did not go over my head. Yeah. Oh boy. Anyway, so that's Music Talk this week with Jay and Ben.
There we go. We solved those deep lyrics from the hit Taylor Swift song
Shake It Off. Yeah, from I don't know, circa 2013.
Maybe the best Taylor Swift song.
Whoa.
I don't know. Not my personal favorite. But my perceived
when
Life of a Showgirl was coming out, right? I feel like there was this talk like it's nothing but bangers.
Yeah.
That was like the marketing, right?
Right.
And but what people experienced it was
people thought it was gonna be
people thought
off.
It would be like a whole record's worth of Shake It Offs.
Okay.
As in, this is the agreed upon Taylor Swift number one banger.
Huh. I would say it's not my favorite.
It's not my favorite Taylor Swift song, but I think is it the best Taylor Swift song?
Good question. I don't know.
What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
I like Wildest Dreams. Let's see here. Oh, what is the new one that's like Dancing Through the Lightning Strikes? I like that one.
Opalite.
Opalite. Yeah. Look at you go.
Yeah.
And I like Love Story, obviously.
That's a good one. No, old school.
Yeah. Our Song. Pretty old solid. As well.
Yeah. My favorite one is Mean.
Oh, why you gotta be so mean?
I'm a liar. And pathetic. And alone in life.
Have you ever felt this way towards a human being where you're sort of like,
I just think it's so funny. I mean, that's something she does in her songs is like cut in with like a little like, oh my God, it's like, stop, you know?
Right. Right.
Like she'll cut in with one of those things. But I just remember that one. I just thought it was so funny when it got to that part. And I don't know. I listened to that one. I think it came out like around 2010, I want to say.
When you got to that part, you mean the primary chorus?
No. The why you got to be so mean. The when she cuts in and she's like, and a liar.
Oh,
and pathetic.
Okay. I see.
When she like stops singing and just like gets real for a second. It's like, tell me how you really feel, Taylor. You know? Right.
Oh man, I would love to imagine you driving around in your car at that point in your life listening to this song and love to know who you were directing the energy.
I don't think it has to be directed towards anyone.
Well, I in my head it is.
It's just I mean I definitely drove around and listened to it.
Jay, do you have a rival?
Do I have a rival? I don't think I have a rival.
Well, listen, we've been playing Pokemon since we were just wee lads.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And right away I remember they were like, this is your rival.
Yeah.
His name is...
This is something you have in life.
It's like, no.
Right. I'm 10.
I'm pretty sure rivals are not things you're supposed to have unless you're like a college mascot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so like, I mean, have you ever had like a rival?
Like before? Someone I'm just like directly competing against.
Yes.
And they're competing back.
Well, I mean,
or is it just, I find a lot of rivalries to go one way.
It does feel like a lot of rivalries go one way. I think that's true. It's funny just to think about like what you're stacked up against, like in terms of like the person maybe who is like on like a level playing field with you, like you guys, you both maybe have like similar levels of like offerings, but like in different encampments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my rival, you
yeah
know, for example, in school, like was like a musician.
Oh, was it? Yeah,
yeah. And I'm not like a musician. So
yeah,
it was just sort of like ugh, you know. And he did hurdles, and I did distance.
Wow,
different things. I know,
but like present.
Yeah.
Right. Competed yeah. for attention
yeah,
in the right. same places.
And that was the thing too, is I was like, of course you picked hurdles. Like so few people do hurdles.
Right.
It's such a like obscure activity.
Hurdles.
Like running.
Why don't you try running?
And also jumping, you know, like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me know how that's going to help you later in life. Okay.
Right. Right. Meanwhile, he's a professional, like, you know,
hurdler. No, he did steeplechase at the Olympics. So.
So, eggs on my face, eggs. Just to be clear, he made something of that. No, I don't really know if we were rivals, but
I can't even tell if you're talking about a real person or just having weird made up examples.
No, I mean, it's like to think like there was no reason for us to ever actually be rivals,
mm-hmm.
but it's almost as if like in high school, because like we never like, you know, we're interested in like the same person or like, you know, we're up against each other in any activity. It's almost as if like we had every single reason in the world to be friends. And instead of being friends, we were rivals.
I see.
You know,
right.
Like
so you and this person,
me and this person,
this is a real person,
a real person. Yeah. I mean, of course, like the chances are, even if he was listening right now, which I doubt it, cause you know, he's off doing professional steeplechase.
Exactly.
You know,
he's out there training for the chase, man.
As far as I know, that
gotta clear the water.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah.
I am certain that he wouldn't be like, oh yes, he's of course speaking of me.
Yes,
you
right.
know,
yeah.
But like maybe on some level, I was sort of like, I was like, I'm watching you.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm keeping tabs, man.
Right, right. So you clearly had the same thing. Lay it on me. What was your rival like?
No, I don't feel like I had a rival per se.
Oh, okay. Do you think you were anyone's rival? Was there anybody who like who was green with envy at your spectacular gift for spitting language and words?
For spitting language and words?
Yeah, like when I think
that's
about things,
that's what I was good at in high school.
I feel like you were really good at English class.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know, so it's like, I mean, that could be intimidating for plenty of people. It's
I suppose it could be.
This guy, you give him a pen and watch out.
I don't feel like that was widely known. I think that was like the teacher knew, but it wasn't like I was up there. I wasn't participating in class discussions.
Were you not pretending to be a dead ant?
What?
Were you not pretending to
a
be
a dead ant?
Yeah, I feel like I had this recollection of you in high school in English class pretending to be a dead ant.
Pretending to be a dead ant, like yeah, the insect?
Like, yeah, like the insect. Not like your you know, dad's sister.
Yeah. I was a dead aunt.
A dead aunt.
I do not remember being a dead aunt.
Did you not role play some type of like specific critter?
No.
Surely you did.
What?
Not even once.
I don't think so.
Oh, senior year. I feel like you gave a compelling performance in a course.
I remember several presentations in English class.
Okay.
One was in 10th grade.
I'm starting to think you just blacked it out.
It's very possible, but I do not remember pretending to be a dead ant at any point.
You know what's funny is that in Chamber of Secrets, the second Harry Potter book, there is like a scene where Lockhart is having Harry like reenact certain feats of bravery that he like, you know, did.
Yeah.
And every single time that happens, I always think about you pretending to be a dead ant.
You think about me pretending to be a dead ant.
Every
I can't even think of the context for when this would come up.
Just like laying on your back, legs in the air, dead bug style.
Dead bug. I do not remember that at all.
Man.
Like, it's making me, like, I don't even know a story. Like,
how could I make this up?
That's what I'm wondering. How could you make it up? I remember a short story called Leningen versus the Ants.
Oh.
But that was not something we even read in school. I think Dad just told me about it. And I was like, what a weird story. What a weird name, Leningen.
And Leningen.
Leningen. Yeah. And he basically at work lives on a farm. And these like hordes of ants are coming toward. They're like consuming everything. Ah. When I say hordes, I mean like you could look out and see like a literal sea of black ants coming towards the farm.
That would be intimidating.
It's intimidating. And he goes out and he has like moats and gasoline and all these things, and he's trying to like prevent the ants from like getting to his property and consuming everything.
Okay.
So if you need a good, I don't know, read, check it out. Leningen versus the Ants. Something I did not read or act out in high school.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, it's practically summer, and as a kid, this was the best time to be alive. And that belief always carries over into adulthood. I can't believe it's finally here. I'm going to have so much leisure time, see friends, take on projects. But somehow every summer, I have no time. I overcommit, and 2 weeks in, I'm exhausted. I won't say that summer is the cause, but it is a window of time that I desperately need to work on setting good boundaries. In one of my own sessions, I remember attempting to navigate declining plans with friends, not because I had to mow my lawn, but because I just simply wanted to. I wanted a mindless task and to listen to an audiobook, and it's strange that I needed help reaching this conclusion. And not only is it a breakthrough in carving time for myself simply because I need to, but it's realizing therapy doesn't always have to be about the deep, dark secrets within my heart. It can also just be finding it within myself to let me mow my own lawn. That's powerful. So don't forget, you don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You want to know what I think we should do next is look up what is objectively the best Taylor Swift song.
What is objectively, what are you looking it up on?
Just Google. What is objectively the best Taylor Swift song objectively?
What is just like known to be, you know?
Oh, there we go. Okay. What is objectively the best Taylor Swift song? Because best is subjective, there's no universally agreed upon answer. Well, this isn't helpful.
Google, draw a line in the sand.
The pop masterpiece's Blank Space.
Also pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll give that. I'll concede that as well.
What do we think Blank Space is about?
What? It's about her doing crazy things to her exes.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, you're going out with me, but I've got a, like, you think I'm crazy, but I've got a blank space and I'll write your name. I'll add you to the list of people I'm crazy towards. That's what the blank space is on.
That's what it's about?
Yeah. Right? Are you leading the lyrics now?
I'm reading the lyrics.
That's exactly all, right?
This I haven't properly interpreted every.
I'm pretty
every
sure
ounce
that's what
lyrics.
It's about.
Okay, but this is the one that also has the got a long list of ex lovers, which sounds like Lonely Starbucks Lovers.
Lonely Starbucks Lovers, yeah.
Yes. Which I think, if I'm not much mistaken, this song came out. Hang on. I want to see if it was around the same time, 2014. Okay, so it would predated just by a little bit. Alice and I, like, kind of like the introduction to our relationship was like these like little like Starbucks dates,
yeah,
that we would do. And so like I remember hearing like the Lonely Starbucks Lovers, and I was sort of like,
"Hey,
like,
we're Lonely Starbucks Lovers."
I was like, "Hey, I know what you mean. Like, is this like a relatable experience? Like, is this like?" Am I falling accidentally into like a trope?
Turns out, no.
No.
No, because it's just a long list of ex-lovers.
Yeah, I know. But like I'm pretty good at misknowing the lines to things. I also remember Wrecking Ball, the title of the song by Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
I thought was Rainbow. So like I came in like a rainbow. I thought
it's such a different vibe.
I
came in like a rainbow, man. It was like after the rain comes the rainbow, and you're like, things were bad, but I came in like a rainbow.
You know, there's a little, it's got something to it, I think. You know, it's kind of like as if it's like this like destructive like essence of like good, you know?
Yeah, how rainbows just like wreak havoc on the things they shine upon.
Precisely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like it's there to just sort of like uplift and also destroy.
Yeah. There you go.
Right.
Yep.
As most relationships in our early 20s do.
No doubt.
They
no
uplift
doubt.
And then destroy.
Yeah.
It's an analogy.
How is that what rainbows do?
They don't. Jay, the problem with me is that, like, I don't know how to hear the lyrics. Like when people are, like, listening to these things, like, how are they hearing? Like, are most people out there, like, pulling up the lyrics so they can, like, learn the words to the song so that when it plays? Or, like, a lot of people just doing, like, the watermelon thing where they just, like, say the word watermelon, you know, so it looks like right. You're singing the words.
Watermelon, 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 yeah.
What are you singing, Blank Space?
No, yeah, exactly Swift? Right. Yeah, yeah, so that would look like, yeah.
I thought so. I'm a good lip reader.
Yeah.
And I'm
that looked the same.
I turned off my headphones for just a moment so that I could not hear what you were saying, and I successfully read the lyrics to Blank Space.
Okay, got it. Yeah,
yeah,
that was exactly right.
And do you like the chaotic energy of today's
episode?
We've
got a real chaotic energy going in today's episode. Ben thought I acted like a dead ant.
I'm still in not front of 100% my class. Sure that you didn't.
Yeah,
I think that one Mrs. Mills could be like, I remember my most faved student of all time.
I would be shooketh if I was her favorite student of all time.
There's no way you aren't.
There's no way.
None whatsoever.
Like,
I other things I'm certain of.
20 years later.
Yes.
No one has surpassed me in her first year at that school.
Unusurped.
Yeah. I don't even know if I was her favorite student that year.
By golly.
By golly.
Are you kidding me?
What evidence do you have?
Hearsay.
Hearsay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like, I feel like she wasn't even my 12th grade English teacher.
Yeah.
And I believe that, like, when I walked down the halls after you left, she was like, tell Jay I said hello.
Tell Jay. She probably said George, though, because that was my nickname in that class.
In fact, she almost certainly did say George.
Yeah.
George the Ant.
Everyone in our class had nicknames, and like that was like a thing she did. Everyone in every class had a nickname. And then one guy had a problem with his nickname, so she had to stop doing it.
No.
I know. I was like, dude, don't be that guy.
What was his name? What was his nickname?
I don't even remember what his nickname was. It wasn't in my class. It was in one of the other classes.
You know what I'm sensing?
What?
Potential rival.
I mean, maybe. Maybe we could paint this guy.
Yeah. Could be.
I had very little. This was the it fits the description of just like it would feel like there was no reason for us not to be friends.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not sure we had like all the same interests or anything.
Well, you don't necessarily have to.
Yeah.
Would you say you were on the same social echelon?
I would say I was higher up.
Whoa. Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Wow. But I mean,
you definitely don't know who you are.
Any good rival would say such a thing, though.
And even as I'm saying it, I'm only like 90% sure he was the one who had a problem with the nickname thing. I might be just be like throwing it at him.
You know what? 90's good enough to go on this.
I know. You know what? Like, it doesn't even matter.
I gotta be frank with you. I'm not fussed
like, either. You know what?
I literally do not
frankly,
know.
Frankly, I think he had it coming.
I think he did too.
Yeah.
It's like if he could have just been fine with the nicknames, you could have been George for the rest of your life.
I mean, the nickname stuck for our whole year.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. So, and actually, believe it or not, Beth was in that English class with me. One of the few classes we had together, and her nickname was Sarge. There you go.
Sarge. Was it because of her role as like the
drum major?
The drum major.
Yeah, so she was Sarge. Yeah.
Wow.
That was it. And even more fun fact, this particular English teacher instated a secret Santa in for like everyone in the class.
Did you get Beth?
I didn't get Beth, but Beth got me.
Oh,
I know.
What'd she get you?
She got me a like a jumbo bag of peanut M&Ms.
I
remember getting it and being like, this was the exact correct answer to how you were supposed to get something for someone else in this class was a big bag of candy. I feel like I did it wrong. But
what did you get?
I got it was like, do you know those like toys where you like it's like a bunch of like needles hanging down and you like press your hand up and you can like see an imprint thing. That's what I got. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, not so bad.
Not so bad, right?
I mean, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Quite fun.
Quite fun. Yeah. Quite fun. The person I remember like watching, seeing like how they, because I remember when I got it, I was like, I'm going to win
Secret Santa.
Secret Santa. I'm going to be like, I got like a really cool thing. Like, you don't think it's cool, but then you get it out and you're like, oh yeah, this is like kind of fun to play with.
Right.
And I remember watching my person open it and being like, no, they didn't like it. Okay. No, okay.
I'm gonna
get it wrong.
I'm going to lay aggressive claim to something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. That was okay. Cool. Peanuts. Wow. This girl's cool.
I think I'll marry her someday.
I think I'll marry her. And I did.
Wow. Wow. The Mars company should probably do a story on you guys about the most impactful bag of M&Ms in the history of M&Ms.
And the history of M&M. And actually, peanut M&Ms are like literally my favorite candy. So I don't think she knew that at the time.
Wow. And not influenced by this particular moment or partially?
No, not influenced by this particular moment.
Wow.
Just also true.
Where would you rank Swedish Fish?
Swedish Fish is probably like my second favorite candy.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sour Patch Kids?
Sour Patch Kids. They're gonna be like probably a top fiver.
Wow, I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh,
can
boy.
You round me out here?
I'm gonna go Snickers.
Snickers is definitely my favorite, like chocolate bar.
Chocolate bar. Okay.
Yeah,
that counts for something.
You know,
that
which I would like that. I would say that of all like the chocolate candy you can get at the cash register, you know, like that's definitely my favorite.
Okay. Nerds gummy clusters.
That is going to be it. That's the top five. You got it.
Yes!
All five.
Oh my goodness.
Very good.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Oh. Good thing we're not rivals.
I know. Nope.
It'd be a bummer to know all these things about you and not be able to do anything about it.
I know, right? That'd be a bummer.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, just this past weekend when we were up in New York, which is what we're supposed to be talking about, we stopped at a Trader Joe's because it's like Beth's favorite store.
Yeah. Did you get the cookie butter? Like the
we didn't get the cookie butter. We went in because we wanted to get snacks for the road trip back home the next day.
Okay, sure.
And I was like, all right, everyone can pick out one snack. And I thought that was going to be such a fun treat because like Trader Joe's has all the really cool snacks or whatever.
They do. I love the chocolate covered pretzel nuggets filled with peanut butter.
Wow. Yes. Very good.
They are so delicious.
Super solid.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Of course, I think maybe it's more fun to look at all the different crazy snacks when you're an adult because my kids just did not seem as impressed as I thought they should be by some of their offerings, you know?
Do you think there's a chance it's because they've spent less time in grocery stores?
It could, well, maybe, I guess. They've been in grocery stores, though. I mean, I think like Trader Joe's offers like the way their naming convention is often like long list of products consistent in this single product, you know?
Okay.
It'll be like honey glazed crunchy kale clusters, you know? It's like da, 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 kind of thing, which is not, I just made that up off the top of my head. They don't sound bad.
But, it's like, so if anyone wants to take that.
If anyone wants Trader Joe's, yeah. If you're listening, Trader Joseph, wherever you are in the world.
Oh,
you know, yeah.
Trader Joseph. That's
Trader
good.
Joseph. Yeah. Wherever you are, you can have that one. But what did we get? We went in there and then the kids, like they were just definitely like, it's too cold in here. It's too cold, which is a real complaint. I always have at Trader Joe's. I'm always like, it is freezing in here. And they were way more focused on that than picking out fun treats. So, but what we ended up with was, like gummy lobsters, which were like basically Swedish Fish in lobster form.
Okay.
But then also with like, you know, 1 degree of difference from real Swedish Fish so that they weren't a direct copy.
Yeah.
But man, they were so good.
Were they really?
Yes.
Gummy lobsters.
Gummy lobsters. And then we had these weird like watermelon like puffball things. It was like freeze dried watermelon like juice or something.
Okay.
And it was like you'd put it on your tongue and it would just like slowly dissolve into like the like a sip of watermelon, you know, but like really, really sugary watermelon.
How about that?
It was very weird. Yeah. Man,
there is almost nothing better than a properly chilled, exactly correct watermelon.
Oh, there is almost nothing better.
I mean, yes. It is just like a taste of like perfection.
Watermelon has such range. You can have such bad watermelons and such amazing watermelons.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. Mm. And the good thing about watermelons too is that if you throw them in the air and take a sharp enough object and just like slice at them, they do that thing where you like the blade can go all the way through the center. Not recommending you do it, but you could. And the blade goes all the way through and it's almost as if like it takes a while for them to like detach.
Yeah.
You know,
Fruit ninja style.
I like something about that.
Yeah, that's very nice.
It's like real life slow motion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then if you film it in real life slow motion, even better.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like it was good. Now it's better.
Yeah. So those were the things that Luke and Nick picked. All right.
What did Nick go with?
this was...
Tell me it's an apple.
Oh my gosh. Almost. This was like, okay, you know, you go in and you're like, all right, children, go nuts and pick out just the craziest looking snacks you can find, you know, not straight up candy, even though the first two just basically were, but, you know.
You mean the gummy lobsters?
The gummy lobsters and the watermelon balls. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Those. Okay, apparently we broke down, and we were just like, because everyone was complaining. It's like, just pick them, just throw it in the cart or whatever.
Right.
But Nate picked out something beforehand. And what Nate picked out, here's what's going to be, is plain tortilla chips. I was like, this is what you want? And he's like, yes. And I was like, put it in the cart.
It's giving Abraham Lincoln's favorite beverage being water.
I know. I was like, Nate, there is just, I mean, even just in the realm of tortilla chips, there's probably like 10 other flavors here, and you've got plain tortilla chips. And here's the irony, though. Me and Beth had that bag of tortilla chips in between us for like the whole drive. And we're just like munching on them.
No way.
Yeah.
Like they were good.
Like they were good.
Oh.
It was like, yeah. I was like, well, you know, I laughed when you picked them, Nate, but it turns out you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing.
Man, this reminds me. So I got one of my favorite all-time snacks. While we were on our way up as well, we stopped at Bucky's. And one, I got some of the peppered turkey jerky.
That's the best one.
Which is really, really superb.
Yeah.
Like I think people sleep on turkey jerky because it's like not beef jerky.
Right.
But like it's softer, which I like. You know, I don't like when I feel like I'm kind of like bending my teeth.
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
Is that when it comes to, and we've talked about this a lot, because we all know the best beef jerky in the world is sold in an open air glass jar at Wags in Vermont.
Yeah, that's the West Addison General Store. You should go there.
And if you can get beef jerky like that, and every now and then I can find it, that's my actual favorite kind of beef jerky. Like extremely dry, hard to pull. You have to actually jerk, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But if it comes to soft beef jerky, or, you know, like whatever, quote unquote beef jerky, I had some of the turkey jerky you had, and I was like, this is so much better than all other soft beef jerky I've had.
Yeah, yeah.
So
agree.
There
I
you go.
Agree.
If you're at Bucky's, get the turkey jerky.
But then I also got butter toffee peanuts, and man, do I love these things.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, dangerously so. Like, I feel like one of the things like Beth has said before is that like she'd come over to our house and like we would have like a tray of like brownies that we made, and we will have eaten like two of them and then just like left the tray.
Right.
You know, so it's like we made them because it was sort of like, hey, we're watching a movie, you want to make brownies? And it's like, yeah, let's make brownies.
Yeah.
And so like we each like ate one, and then it was just sort of like, all right, we had the brownies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like brownie experience over.
Yeah. You can't just make a single brownie. You have to make a whole tray, even if you just want one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel like she was always like, how do you not just eat?
How do you do
this? It's like you're like walking past this over and over and like not eating the rest of the brownie.
Right.
And it's like pretty much. Yeah. That is pretty much what happens.
You want some?
Yeah. I mean, so go right ahead. Yeah. But man, I'm really craving brownies now that I said that. I'm going to have to get some and bring them home. I have a feeling Addison would love it. Okay. Log that away, Ben. You got it. But okay, yeah, that's my logging noise.
Yeah.
Click. But the butter toffee peanuts, man, these things, I don't think that they are anything more than people putting like equal parts sugar and water into a pan, throwing some peanuts in there, jostling it about until they're covered in like basically like a thin set caramel or something.
Yeah.
And then just sort of like letting them dry. But I cannot stop eating them.
So good.
And like the thing is that while I'm eating them, like I've been talking about like my teeth a lot lately.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am giving myself a cavity. There's no way I'm not.
They're very sticky.
There is nothing about this that is even remotely good for the innards of my mouth.
Right.
And yet it's like Ben, everything is telling you stop consuming the butter toffee peanuts. Can't do it. Like
no.
It's like the kind of thing where I'm like, somebody need take them away from me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very, I mean, I know what you mean. You got to have a snack like that, though.
Right.
It has to exist out there. Actually, on this road trip, we, like, I think, like, started a tradition, or at least followed through on what could become a tradition.
I love a tradition, so lay it on me.
Right, okay. So, I think last year, we were up in New York for our Aunt Jessica's funeral, literally the same weekend last year.
Yeah.
And when we were driving back, We stopped at this gas station, and maybe it wasn't though, because I don't remember the kids being there in the car with us. I feel like it was just me and Beth.
Maybe you just left them somewhere.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
You know how likely that is.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, why wouldn't the kids have been in the car with us? That doesn't make sense. But I feel like they weren't. Anyway, I'm going to find the picture here. Hold, please. You get the magic of editing. And we stopped at this one gas station called the Mirabito.
The Mirabito.
The Mirabito. And
sounds exotic.
It's not.
Oh, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It only stands out to me because it's like a gas station I've only seen one of, you know, and I know it as the gas station that will be on the road shortly after you pass Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame, on the corner. It'll just be there like several miles after that.
Oh, I know exactly where it is.
Exactly that one.
Yes, I know. Yes. I know precisely the location.
Right. Yes. I knew you would. I knew you would.
Well, I mean, I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. You've been to the Mirabito.
I drove past there twice.
Right. So, the last time me and Beth were passing the Mirabito, we stopped to get gas or whatever. And when we were inside, we discovered this just like comically large bag of popcorn.
Yeah.
Like massively bigger. Like you go to the store and you see like family size tortilla chips, like double the size of that.
I mean,
way too big.
It was so big, in fact, that you guys had all eaten a considerable portion of it, like on the drive.
Yeah.
And then our younger brother Tyler arrived at the Airbnb and was like, is it okay if I open up that popcorn?
And I'm like, it's open.
And it was
open,
like,
bro.
Hey, trust you me, it has been opened. It has been worked upon. That is what's left, which is like, you know, like normally, like you open up like a bag of like Lay's and it's like one third full, like down there in the bottom. It's mostly like a plastic bag full of air.
Yeah, mostly.
This is not that.
This is a jumbo comically bag full of popcorn. It is Farmer John's popcorn, butter flavored, gluten free, non-GMO. I'm just reading the bag right now. Wet popped. That's what they put on the
wet popped.
I know. I'm like, guys, don't say wet popped. Okay.
I hate it.
I know. I was like, don't say wet popped. What you mean is stovetop. That's what you did.
Wet,
okay.
Wet pop.
That means you had the kernels in oil and popped it with the oil. You didn't air. It means not air popped.
But you know what? What it really seems like is like popcorn that got left out in like a storm.
It sounds like the popcorn itself is going to be wet. I'm like, that must be like the technical industry term for popcorn popped in oil. But it is a terrible term. Nonetheless, it does me. I usually hate bagged popcorn.
Okay.
Like, it's not my jam. Like, yeah. I don't like it. In Beth, it took Beth a long time to understand this because she was like, you love popcorn so much, but you never get popcorn like at a gas station. I'm like, because bagged popcorn isn't the same. It's not good.
No.
It's not this. I don't like it. Like, I need like the stovetop. Like, you need good popcorn, you know?
Right.
And,
right,
yes. But that's what this is. It is that kind of popcorn because I think most popcorn on the store, on the shelves, is like air popped, lame, bad tasting popcorn. But this comically large bag of popcorn is very good. Farmer John's. And as far as I know, you can only get it at this one gas station, Mirabito, in New York, just past Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right.
Probably you can get it other places, but to my knowledge, it's the only gas station I've ever seen it at.
All right. Give me the name again. Farmer John's wet popcorn.
No, just Farmer John's popcorn. Butter flavored.
Farmer John's popcorn. I wonder if I were to just make an absolute stab in the dark at the number of ounces this bag might weigh. Like, I'm going to go with like 18 ounces because that seems like a ton of popcorn.
Okay, I can actually see the ounces at the bottom here. So you're incorrect, but you're pretty close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anyway.
Is it 20?
It's 20.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That means it's 1 pound, 4 ounces.
Of popcorn.
Yeah. Which is like, I mean, that's a tremendous amount.
That's a tremendous amount of popcorn, which weighs very little. But the first time we went in there and we discovered it and we got it and we thought it was like oh, this it was such a great road snack because it lasts forever. You know, you can just keep munching on popcorn.
Oh, I know. I mean, like when we get the kettle corn at like the, like, you know, Go Fest or something like that, they come in this like big tube bag.
Giant bag, yeah.
And the glorious thing about it is that like I can sit on the couch at night, like after like a day of chomping on it at the festival and like continue to eat it for like another like 2 hours and then there's still some left.
Yeah. So this is a really good, really good one. But this time, like I was like, I bet that Beth doesn't remember the exact gas station the comically large bag of popcorn came from.
You bet that.
But I, for like an hour, was like, I am not getting gas until I get to that specific store,
Mirabitos.
The Mirabito, past Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Nice.
And I pull up and sure, and like the gas station's there, and I'm like, yes, excellent. Okay, good. And we fill up the gas, you know, we go inside, we're all using the bathroom and stuff. And I am like walking up and down the rows, and I'm like, oh no, they don't have it. Like, because how could you miss it? You know?
I mean,
it is a comically large bag of popcorn.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm like, it has got to still be here. Like, this is, if this gas station is known for any, like, in my mind, this gas station is known in particular for selling this one product.
I mean,
you know,
there's no doubt about it. You've now branded it that way.
I have branded it that way in my brain, that like, they sell the regular gas station stuff, but like their unique thing that they're doing is they carry this like off brand of giant popcorn.
So here's the thing is that like every once in a while, I'll have like an absolutely miserable experience at like an establishment. And I'll be like, man, we should just like go be mean and review bomb them or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Don't do it.
It's like an intrusive thought. You know, it's like you're not the thoughts that happen inside of your head. Just because your brain projects them at you, it's like whether or not you do anything about it. This is me trying to rationalize this particularly mean scenario.
Okay.
However, I feel like we could encourage people to go to the review page for Mirabito just outside of Cooperstown and leave a 5-star review and be like, best place to get John's.
Yeah, Farmer John's popcorn.
Farmer John's wet popped popcorn.
Wet popped popcorn.
Exactly.
Comes in two flavors, butter flavored and movie popcorn.
Ooh.
I know.
And you don't go for movie flavor.
I wanted to recreate the exact experience I had the first time.
Oh man.
Right. Which was butter flavored.
Okay.
To which I also think that's what movie popcorn is butter flavored.
Is butter flavored. Yeah. It's like,
so I don't know what the difference is.
I think
maybe theater, next time I'll change it up.
Right. Movie theater popcorn to me is like, it's almost like cheese that's orange. It's like one of those things where it's like, when was the last time you saw like milk that was orange? And therefore, how would cheese become orange? They add the orange, right?
I don't know.
To cheese.
Do they?
I don't know. That's what in my head, they add the
orange. They add the orange.
The orange is added. Yeah,
like
in post.
What we do at my company is we sell the orange coloring that goes in cheese.
I have to look it up.
You have to look it up.
Because this is like one of those things that I was certain I was right about. And then I just thought you'd be like, yeah, of course, obviously they had the orange.
It makes sense to me, but also I have no idea.
How does cheese?
Okay. While you look that up, I was looking around the store and I was like heartbroken that I could not find the comically large bag of popcorn. And I'm like ready to leave. Just like, man, they must've just stopped. They gave up their signature move and we're like walking out the door and Luke goes, what's that? And like right next to the door is the big display of the Farmer John's popcorn. I was like, oh my God, they do still have it. Luke, we're getting it right now.
We're getting it. We're going back to the counter.
We're going right back to the counter where we had just paid for other things and we turned around and we got it. And I got in the car. I was like, look what we got. And Beth was like, oh my gosh, we have to go take the same picture we took last time. And we took the picture. And now anytime that we are passing the Mirabito just several miles past Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right.
We will be getting this bag of popcorn.
A notoriously 5-star establishment.
A notoriously 5-star establishment because people who listen to the Popcorn Culture podcast went and left popcorn reviews for the Mirabito.
I love how twice in this podcast we have given glowing endorsements to two different obscure gas stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the West Addison General
Store. Look, upstate New York, Vermont, whatever. They're doing gas stations right.
They get it. Right.
You got to stand out.
Okay. Update. Cheese is not naturally orange.
That makes sense.
Its vibrant hue comes from the addition of annatto, a natural vegetable dye derived from the seeds of the achiote tree.
Is that so?
That is correct.
So you could have an achiote farm.
Wow.
Or orchard or something.
Do you think Big Achiote right now is out there shaking in their boots because we have just delivered to the world the secret to their success? They have led for too long unbothered by the likes of people like us.
Right. I mean, they're now Achiote, yeah. Like that so when I was joking earlier, but now literally that's true. Someone out there owns an Achiote orchard / farm and produces the seeds for which the dye for cheese comes from.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone out there has this exact job.
And for some reason, it's like, it makes me not like orange cheese. It's like, no.
Just let the cheese be the cheese.
Cheese is the color that cheese is.
Cheese is the color. There's no reason to change the color of cheese.
Exactly.
Because you know what? There's plenty of just white cheese.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Right. It comes out like, no one's scoffing at white cheese.
You know what I really like, though, is cheese that's covered in wax.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, you say it like as if we all knew that.
Everyone likes cheese and wax, Ben.
Right. Well, I feel like once upon a time when we were kids, our dad went to the Quidico in Canada. And when he returned, he brought us cheese covered in wax.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah.
Because you like cut like a little sliver and then you can like peel the wax so perfectly off the edge and it makes like this like little like shape, you know, of where the cheese was.
I love in like cooking shows or like movies or whatever where they go to places and they have the big wheel of cheese.
Yeah.
And they always do the thing where they have that little cheese, they think they rub across the top of the cheese that gets a nice little roll.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. They'll just stand there and eat it. I'm always like, man, I wish I could eat that cheese right now.
It's like, you know what I really want? I want like a ribbon of cheese.
I want a ribbon of cheese that has been harvested directly from the wheel.
You know what else this reminds me of is I feel like I've seen a grilled cheese restaurant before where they bring like a blowtorch over to the table. They put the single piece of bread, you know, on your plate.
Yeah.
They take the blowtorch to the cheese and they just let some like slough out, you know? It just sloughs right on out, mm-hmm. right onto your slab of bread. You throw another slab on top of it and boom, bam, you got yourself a grilled cheese.
There it is. Yeah.
Liquefied cheese.
Liquefied cheese sloughing all over the place.
Liquefied cheese is not common enough.
No.
You know,
like cheese
like
whiz?
Like well, no, not cheese
or like
whiz.
Nacho cheese?
Not like nacho cheese. These are cheeses that are liquid at room temp. I want liquefied cheese that is like cheese at room temp.
That is cheese at room temp, like cheese on pizza?
Like hard cheese. You know? Yeah. It's like you need cheese that's gonna like only melt like the perfect temp.
Yeah.
And then from there you get to like eat the gloop.
Eat the gloop.
Yeah.
Right. This is why people like pizza, I think. Right. That's what the mozzarella is.
The mozzarella.
Mozzarella. Yeah.
There's a really funny line from How I Met Your Mother where Ted is being pretentious and he goes to a restaurant and he's like, I hate to go off menu, but do you guys have any, what is it? Fresh mozzarella?
Yeah.
I think that's the end of that. That's the end of that bit. I got halfway through it and I was like, oh, some bruschette.
Some bruschette.
Some bruschette and fresh mozzarella.
Ted's, oh man. Oh, you think it's Renaissance? The Renaissance Fair.
The Renaissance.
Oh man, oh Ted. Okay, man, let's see. What were we going to talk about? Going to New York?
We went to New York.
We did, yeah.
We did, in fact. Yeah, one of the things that we did while we were there was run a 5K.
We did. We did run a 5K while we were there.
Yeah, it was an experience, you know? Like, it was, so we are in, like, the most small town vibe, like, imaginable. Like, the thing we kept describing it to was, like, Schitt's Creek. You know, like,
yeah, it has that real community vibe to it.
It does. Yeah. Like in a way. So like part of the thing that was happening while we were up there is that like our grandparents have kind of been like significant figures in this particular town, which is really cool. I think I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago on the pop where like, you know, the people up there just sort of like take care of each other, which is really nice.
Yep.
But so like one of the big things that was happening in addition to our grandmother's celebration of life was that they were both being honored as like, you know, like members of the town and being presented, our grandfather's being presented as like the king of the Violet Festival.
Right.
And so he got to like accept. Yeah, I know. It also reminds me of Parks and Rec a little bit.
Right. The Violet Festival is also like, I mean, as far as I know, the biggest event in town all year.
Yes, yes. And at moments, like there's like a parade that goes on and it's like, there were so many people lining the streets that I'm like, every single person in this town must be here right now. Like, no exaggeration, no cap whatsoever.
Yeah.
All of them are present.
Right.
Yes.
All of them. Yes. All of them. But this is how small town it is, because even you and I, who are barely ever in this town,
right,
managed to like fall straight into the community section of the town in like a very hilarious way. So like we were up there and the weekend really had like two maybe even three sections. It was like, first was Violet Festival, which was our grandpa was being honored as like the king of the Violet Festival. He was going to be in the parade. We were going to run the 5K. Those were like the sort of the three events around this particular festival.
Yep.
Then after that, it was going to transition into like grandma's funeral and like potluck after funeral and then like visiting at the farmhouse. And then the next day we were going up to Massachusetts to do the actual like graveside ceremony and then like hang out with more family on the Massachusetts side of things. But anyway, Violet Festival. It's the morning of the parade. And as Ben says, every single person in town is lining the streets for the parade.
All of them.
All of them. It is crazy. And we are like, you know, we're trying to find parking and stuff. And, you know, me and Beth have to go drop off Luke because he's going to ride on the gator with grandpa and like wave to the crowd and stuff.
Right.
Which even that was kind of funny because like at first we're like, who wants to ride the gator? And no one wants to do it. And I'm like, well, like being in a parade is fun. Like, you know, you get to be on the float and you wave at people and they cheer for you. And it's like you're famous. And then Luke was like, I'm going to do it.
You said the right thing. You, sir, have sold me.
I am going to ride that gator. And then it turns out, ultimately, he didn't want to ride it because he realized that the people in the floats in front of him, behind him, were throwing candy. And he was unable to pick up the candy from the floats because he was in the parade.
Right. Right. So it's like now all of a sudden it's kind of like I've placed myself in a compromised position.
Exactly. So hilariously, when grandpa passed where we were, Luke jumped off the float and joined us so we could collect candy. Anyway, prior to that, we're waiting for the parade to begin. You parked somewhere, I parked somewhere. We're trying to find a spot to meet. We eventually all meet up again and like we're staying at an Airbnb and the coffee at the Airbnb is not good. And so no one's really had a good cup of coffee yet this morning.
No Job.
No Job. And yet, you know, everyone's had to get up and corral a bunch of children to a single place outdoors in an unfamiliar place. And there was weird parking. You know, you've been in this situation. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
People need their coffee. So me and Ben, as we were walking in, there was like a little bakery we walked past and it was like, okay, you guys stay here. We'll go just, you know, grab some coffees. And, you know, maybe we'll pick up some bakery treats and that'll, you know, help calm everyone down. We'll get some food or whatever.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we needed proper sustenance.
We needed proper sustenance. Right. So we walk back into the bakery and I'm going to pause here and tell you that we are not we're not in this town a lot. Every single person, as far as I know, looks like they're lining the streets waiting for the parade. Right. We know the people we know in this town are our grandparents, one of who has just passed away, and our aunt who passed away the previous year, old best friend.
Yes.
Right? Right? Carol Contino, whose full name I'm just going to say because it's very fun to say.
It's great name. It's great name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Born well.
Yeah.
And wears it well.
Right. 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 So, sorry. You know, so those are the people we know. Grandpa Jack, Carol Contino, right? Everyone in town's already at the parade. We walk into the bakery and wouldn't you know who's working behind the counter at the bakery on this morning in small town America is the one other person we know.
Carol. And so we walk in the door. She's like, Super Carly Brothers. And
I know. We're like,
are
what?
You serious?
No way. And it's like, oh, but you know, she's like very fun, like life at the party kind of person. So she comes out and we're all like, oh my God, what are the odds we saw you? You know, we walked in one store, you know? Right.
Yes. Yes. First establishment we've entered since we've been here.
Right. And it's just like, yes, this is the most small town thing that's ever happened. We've run into the one person we know. And then it goes more than that because we didn't run into her because she works there. It wasn't like increased odds. We ran into her because she's just volunteering for the Violet Festival and is wherever she needs to be.
Right.
Right. So she's just volunteering at the bakery on this morning. And we happen to walk in this particular moment.
You're right.
Comes in, says hi. And she's like, oh, here, do you know so-and-so? Of course, now we're being introduced to another person. She's like, and he's like, oh yeah, Carlin, you must be Jack's grandsons. That means I taught your dad in high school. And we're like, wow, what?
I feel like this happened like eight more times throughout the course of the weekend.
It was like
you meet somebody and be like, yeah, of course I know John. I was a year behind him in high school. And you're like,
yeah,
What?
Yeah. And then that guy's just like, yeah, I think he went, I've tried to follow him. He goes, he's went into show business or TV or radio or something, which is code for, I just racked my brains as hard as I could to remember anything I could about your dad. And that's what I came up with.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, precisely. Precisely.
Like that is actually correct, you know? Yep, we're in a little bit of showbiz ourselves.
Oh yes, and we dusted off our shoulders.
Yeah, you know,
it was just pure glory.
I don't want to brag, but we were just in L.A. So
Los Angeles.
You've heard of it. But that, I mean, that was just the most, I think, the most small town thing ever that happened, and we got all the things, went back to the parade, and that was fun. But just such like, of course that happens here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and you could just not go anywhere like without basically explaining who you were and the people that you were speaking to, just being like, I know exactly who you are. Like your grandparents talk about you guys all the time, where it's like,
right.
Really?
Really?
And you talk to our grandparents all the time.
Like, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Cool. This cool, is cool, 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 cool.
Positively spiffing.
Very spiffing, quite corking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we made it through that portion of the event. And then the next day we woke up for the Violet Festival 5K run.
Yep, 5K which was and fun run.
Similarly quaint as heck. So like, you know, it's like you get there and they're explaining like, you know, they're like, all right, now this is like an officially sanctioned event. So if you need to like use this towards like your qualifying or anything like that, which like for the record, like if you ever wanted to like qualify for like the Boston Marathon or something, like you have to run a specific time at a qualifying course.
Right.
Which is kind of like a special thing. So you might like, there are probably certain races that get like a lot of attendees specifically because they're like a fast course that can qualify for Boston. And right. Like that is the draw.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a flat course. It's pretty easy in a reasonable climate and you can qualify for Boston here. It's like, aha. Okay. So I might do it for that reason.
Right.
But then they kind of like transition from like, yeah, this is an official race to like, all right, you guys all know the drill. We're going to go down Hartwell Street, you're going to take a right on Douglas, go on down to Pine Tree, and then take a left through the woods. You're going to be in there for about a mile on Bennett's Greenway, and then, you know, like whatever.
Right. So,
like, they're just like naming all the streets as if you know the streets.
Yeah, because you know them.
Right. Which, I mean, to be fair, there were like seven of them.
Yeah.
So chances are, if you lived there, you do know all of them. But for me, I was like, wait a second, am I going to have to remember this? Because I don't know any of those.
Right. Hold the phone.
Hold the phone, exactly. Yeah. So then, you know, they march us over to the starting line, and the way that they're doing like the official timing is they've got these two like old like typewriter looking devices. And I guess what you do is you press go on both of them at the same time. And then like as people are running across the finishing line, they type in your race number, which is then like, you know, collated effectively with your name and information from the registration details. And that's how they do all the stuff.
Which I
think is like a real thing that just used to be the case before like computers became more mainstream or like chip timers or whatever.
Then we had a chip time though as well.
Did we have a chip
like
time?
On the back of the numbers there was like a little electronic like chip timer.
Well, I saw that was there, but we didn't run across a starting line. You know, like
right, like, we didn't, but I feel like at the end we did.
You're right, that's a good point. So maybe that's just like additional, I don't know.
I don't know
either which way though. So then we're all like kind of like vaguely standing there in the middle of the street. There is no like line painted on the street. There is like a sign that's about the size of a standard envelope that says start,
right,
you know,
in just laminated like, paper. Yeah.
And laminated paper. And then the guy's sitting there with his like two typewriter machines or whatever. And he's like, do I say go or do you say go? Like he's like hollering.
They're like, we'll play the national anthem and then just go.
Just go.
Right. And he's got an air horn.
Right. Yeah. So then the national anthem plays or whatever. And he's like, all right, I guess, you know, and he's like kneeling down. He's just using his regular voice. He's not speaking through like a megaphone or anything. He's like, runners, take your mark and go.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we all just sort of like take off at like a jog.
Right.
You know, it's like, all righty then.
And we're off.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I actually really enjoyed it for that. Like, I feel like a lot of races have like a lot of like pomp and circumstance and stuff. And like that can almost be like intimidating because you're like, oh man, everybody here knows what they're doing. And I definitely don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, what was that thinking showing up here this morning?
Jeez. Yeah. It reminded me of this like CGP Cray video where he talks about the best way to board planes.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I love that episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not like what you, like everybody thinks, like, why don't we board from the like
back to front
forward? And it's like, that actually isn't even as efficient. Like the best thing to do is to do like back left, back right, like two seats forward, and then like one seat forward, back left, all the way back right, or something like that.
There's, right. It's
like a stagger.
There's like a weird, yeah, like you could do it that way, but it's almost like so complicated that it's like this is the perfect way, but it's too complicated, which makes it not perfect.
Sure.
Right. But in the meantime, the other best way is planes here. Just get on.
Get. Go yeah. on. Get.
Go ahead. Yep. You can get on now and just, right. just get on at random order, and that will space you out enough that it works out good.
Right. Right.
And like, but I always think about that line, planes here. Get on. That's what the start of this race was like. 9 o'clock, go.
Start now.
Start now.
Do run.
Yeah.
Which we then did.
And it was a nice run. There was a nice little like trail greenway section of the race for like a mile and a half. It was like half the race, straight line through the woods.
Right.
That was pretty nice, doing the shade and stuff. And then you come out and had a nice little downhill finish and everything. So very good stuff.
I was so gassed afterwards. I looked down at I've got like one of those like Garmin watches or whatever, and it said recovery time 95 hours.
Wow, 95.
Yeah, I was like 95 hours. I'm like, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like 4 days.
Man.
You know, like whoops.
Whoops. Mine said 20 hours, so.
Okay. Yeah, I guess which one of us is fitter, right?
Well, now. I know. I mean, well, you finished ahead of me, so I guess I clearly could have run faster.
Maybe so.
I know. Well, yeah. That was the thing. It was like, you know, I was like, I looked at this, and my average heart rate for the end of the race was like 155 or something.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I clearly could have gone faster. But then I was like, well, but when I was out there, like, I definitely didn't feel like I could go much faster.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I need to like just work up some speed on the old legs there. It's like, yeah, you can breathe forever, but how fast can you run?
Well, dude, this was like the humbling experience of all humbling experiences. Like, I mean, we all know the person who like tells the story of their glory days, like playing football or sports or whatever in high school. And I found myself doing that very thing. Like where I got back and Alice was like, you know, I told her my time. And she's like, that's really good. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, it's like, you know. It's all right.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I ran like, you know, like 8 minutes like, faster.
Right. Yeah.
You know, which is kind of like a pretty big spread over 3 miles.
Right. Yeah. It's like 3 minutes a mile, you know. It's like,
yeah. Well. Right. Exactly. You know, so it's like, this is a pretty big difference. It's just like, yeah, but that was 18 years ago. And I'm like,
yeah, but yeah. Unfortunately, the benchmark was set, you know, right. So what do I do?
If I'm not improving literally every single race, even when I haven't run basically at all in the past year, then like, what am I even doing with my life?
Right.
You know,
like you think I'm going to send this time to my to coach, you know, he's going to ream me out. He's gonna be like, what happened?
If anything, I was like, he is somewhere like twitching.
Like know? He knows
he's like, oh,
he's got like a Google alert for every runner who's ever gone past. And when race results get posted anywhere, he's like, how'd they do? Wow, disappointing.
Disappointing. Disappointing. It's like, I should call them and tell them that they're not allowed to run at pre-districts.
exactly.
That's a throwback to a story I told once upon a time about like the only meet I ever trouble. Got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Banned from running by my own coach.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Good job.
Thanks.
But so after the race, we meet up with the kiddos and they're going to do the fun run, which was also really, which was like a 1K, which was equally informal, where it was just like, yeah, we're going to just walk up there, go around the corner. You'll see people milling around, and like people were indeed milling around. They had two cones on either side of the road, and like the kids were ready to go. They found where the line was, and there was a line of kids standing there almost in like the ready to run position for like 15 minutes.
It was absolutely one of those things where like I felt like the cracks were forming like with our bunch of kids where it was like they got there, and if they had like given the horn like right away, everything would have been fine.
Right.
But then it was like you give it 15 minutes of standing there and all of a sudden the nerves are starting to build.
Right.
They're kind of like, I don't know about this. I don't know if I want to do it anymore. But I will tell you, man, fun run, especially when you're the parent, is so fun.
It is so fun. Yeah.
I was like, man, what a good time.
I loved it. Yeah. So I was a little worried because we did a like mile run fun run like last year at one point, and you know, Luke was all, he was all like, I'm probably gonna win the whole thing, you know, or right, whatever. He was like so excited to go out there and just like kill it, and then he got out there and a mile was longer than he thought and you know, it turns out he didn't end up, you know, having as much fun. And in the meantime, Nick ran the whole thing with, you know, Beth, and you know, like ended up, you know, beating Luke, and I was like, oh, I don't need this situation
sure
arriving again, you know.
Yeah. I know. Well, and actually that was the other thing too, is Addison was so excited. I mean, she's been asking me for months.
Yeah.
She's like, when's the fun run, how many days till the fun run? And like finally it showed up, and then all the kids took off like a bullet.
Yeah.
And she was just immediately like defeated.
Yeah.
I mean, like both literally and figuratively,
right? Like I can't do it.
Yeah. I think she was just sort of like, why is everyone faster than me? And I'm like, Addie, you are smaller than all of them,
right?
You are just a little wee lass,
but
I was like, you know what the thing is? I was like, one day you're going to grow up and you're going to be real quick.
You'll be
and
fast.
I was like,
too.
If you want to train, we'll train together.
We can do it. Yeah.
We can get up before school. We'll go for training runs. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Yeah. But it was super fun to watch. You know, Luke took off also like a bullet out of there. And part of me was like, oh man, took off a little hard. Wonder, hopefully he's able to, you know, doesn't have to like, you know, only has to walk a little. But I don't think he walked at all. He made it to the end and came flying back as well.
He did amazing.
Yeah, he did great. Really, I mean, good. I think he was one of the first like 10 or so kids across the line. He came through, and I was just like, man, he is still booking it.
Yeah.
It was like I could see like the entire seat, like lacrosse season's worth of practices, like all combining into one, and like, look at this kid who can run now and do and like be fast and run and go hard.
Yes. I remember this happening in reverse, where like I was running my first 5K as a kid with mom, I think when I was like 9. And I remember going and playing like rec league soccer, and
yeah,
all of a sudden everybody was like, when did Ben get fast?
Right.
And it was sort of like, I think that was like the first time anybody ever like coined me as fast.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, Cool.
I actually remember that in eighth grade when I tried out for the soccer team in seventh grade, and I did not make it. So instead, I did track and field.
Okay.
And I did like a season of track in seventh grade.
Right.
And then came back in eighth grade, and like the difference it had made was outrageous. Like I had just... Like prior to that, I had been like sort of like regular speed kid.
Sure.
And it was like, I'm like fast, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Maybe this would be like a future popcorn culture meetup, is like we have like a track and field day.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we already do the beer mile, you know?
I mean, which is pretty darn close.
It's getting closer.
You know, we had some little colonels out there last year.
We sure did.
Participating right beside us. It was pretty glorious.
It was great. We should try and get up to 3 teams out there this year.
Three you guys, teams?
Come to GoFest, sign up for the beer mile. It's going to be great.
It's going
to
be great.
I don't know if we're going to win this year, but we're going to give it our all.
We're going to do our best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I mean, which is really like, I mean, it's all you can do.
All I can do.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, just do your best.
Just do your best, man.
Really. I mean, it's like truly became like my new like life motto.
Yeah.
It's because I do think it's like, it's something that like gives me like a nice, like little like breath. I'm sort of like, you know, you really can't ask for anything more than someone's best.
Right.
Like that's all they got.
I remember a soccer coach telling me once, or like giving his like pregame speech, is like, I'm not going to ask you to give 110% because that's just physically impossible, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you're right. You can't go more than 100.
Right. Yeah. It's like that is the max. 110% right. Is too many percent.
Then you're dead, I'm afraid.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yes. You've gone too hard.
You've gone too hard. Yeah.
It's like, coach, you told me to go 110.
Give 110. You're like, you look dead to me.
Yeah. Or darn near.
They're getting right past you on defense, you know?
Anyway, the moral of the story is that if you've listened to today's episode of The Pop, go out there and do your best.
Do your very best.
That's right. In the meantime, if you have any feedback for The Pop, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop!
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
What's up, guys? It's Ethan.
Isabel.
And Kat.
And we're joining the boys once again for a Northeast segment of Through the Griffin Tour.
New York and Philly are already sold out, but tickets are still available in Boston, Hartford, Washington, D.C., and Richmond.
We're going to be hosting a live episode of Jay vs. Ben with questions submitted by you all, have some exclusive merch, and you'll even get a special performance from us.
Oh, yeah, and the guys will probably talk about Harry Potter, too.
Yeah, they definitely will. We're going to be diving into chapters 17 through 22 of Half-Blood Prince, which contains lots of fun wizarding lore.
There's also a very limited supply of VIP add-on tickets left for some of these venues. This experience includes a signed poster, early admission, and a meet and greet with Jay and Ben.
So get your tickets now at the link in the description. We can't wait to see all of you in real life at
Through the Griffin Tour!